supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners, that we urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host and guests and are not necessarily those of the Information Radio Network, its affiliates, stations, or advertisers.
This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and for the first hour, the views of Dr. Bruce Ames, who is certainly a professor at the University of California, and he actually has been working for many years on the influence of micronutrients in our diet, and of course their influence on cancer and other degenerative diseases, and he's certainly a world-renowned authority on this. I had the privilege of hearing him speak at the Doctors for Disaster Preparedness meeting I attended a few weeks ago, and I wanted him to share his views with you. Dr. Ames, thank you so much for being with us tonight.
Good evening.
So, could you tell us, you know, what the major issue is? Are we the average American really aware of the influence of these micronutrients and how important they are to our health?
Well, if you ask the average person what causes cancer, they give you the completely wrong answer. Most people know that smoking causes cancer, and smoking is a big risk. It's 8 years off your life if you're a two-pack-a-day smoker, and each cigarette takes about 10 minutes off your life. So it's some huge percentage of lung cancer is almost all due to smoking, and a third of heart disease is due to smoking. So it's a big risk. But after that, though, people will blame it on pesticides or little bits of chemicals in the environment, and that's all been blown completely out of proportion. I think it's all these environmentalists who just don't like capitalism. They want to think all their cancers coming from external forces, not what they do to themselves, and so they blame it all on the chemical industry or whatever. But the real causes of cancer are smoking is about a third, and then bad diets are at least another third, and then a little bit comes from chronic infections or hormones or too much burns from the sun when you're young or things like that. But the big things are diet and smoking, and the gold is in diet, because everybody pretty much knows smoking's bad for you, and that's where I think we can have a lot of the benefit.
All right, fine. And so you've done a lot of studying, certainly on the importance of micronutrients and the part that they play then in good health. Certainly, what are some of these micronutrients that we need more of that we're really not getting?
Yeah, so I got interested. My interest is in disease prevention. How do you, if you can figure it out, it's a lot cheaper to prevent you getting cancer and other degenerative disease than to actually cure the cancer once you have it, which is tough. Though they're making some progress on that. So the big thing is the gold is in diet, and so I've been interested for quite a while in what in diet should we know about. Well, we know obesity is some huge risk factor for cancer. So a third of the country practically is a beast now. And one disease after another is linked to obesity. Cancer and diabetes, it's going to cost a fortune. So thin people are going to be paying through the nose to keep fat people pay the fat people's medical bills, because it's years of high expenses.
All right, you hold that thought for just a moment here. Dr. Stan, I guess Dr. Bruce Ames, we're talking about, of course, the influence of obesity on us and on longevity. And so what are we going to do about the obesity epidemic? We're told it's endemic within our society, that the third of our population is overweight. What are we going to do about it?
Okay. Well, we're working on that, and we think we may have some clues to it. I think the conventional wisdom is that it's calories in and exercise out, so you should just eat less and exercise more. But that's, I think, not the whole story. Obesity is been coming up very sharply in recent years. Now, why is that? And it's particularly marked in poor people, in the African Americans and the Hispanics. But there are plenty of middle-class white people who are getting fat. And so they say they can't help it. Well, partly I think it's bad diets. They're eating unbalanced diets. So if your body needs about 40 micronutrients, about 15 minerals, iron, magnesium, manganese, calcium, copper, there are 15 minerals that all of us need. Bacteria need them and people need them. You can't make them, and so you have to pump them in, and you need them to run your metabolism, your biochemistry. And you don't have iron, you can't carry oxygen in the blood. You don't have magnesium, you can't make your ATP, which is your high-energy molecule that powers your muscle. You don't have manganese, you can't power your antioxidant defenses. So there are all these things. And so, in addition to fuel, which is the fat and carbohydrate you eat, so the fuel is your fat and carbohydrate, and basically you're burning these. So the oxygen you breathe in and the fuel you use is together burn the fuel. What does that mean? Well, you have little organelles called mitochondria in every cell, maybe 500 mitochondria per cell, and they're the power plants. So your sugar and your fat go into the mitochondria. It gets converted. You're basically pulling electrons from them. That's the burning process, and those four electrons got added to oxygen, and you make water. And that process enables you to put a potential across the mitochondrial membrane, and that potential enables you to do work.
Hold that thought for just a moment here, please. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Dr. Ames is simply talking about the thing is that there's about 40 micronutrients we need for our metabolism. Was that 15 or 50 minerals?
15.
15 minerals.
So about 40 micronutrients.
And about 15 minerals. And, of course, these are essential to the metabolism. And what really happens, we have something called mitochondria in the cells, and that's where the energy is produced. And if we have the proper balance of minerals and micronutrients, the oxygens and fats can be metabolized there, create the energy that we need to actually live and for our cells to be healthy. So please pick up the story there, Dr. Ames.
Okay, so you're burning all this, the fat and carbohydrate you eat, and that means combining it with oxygen, and all this is done in the mitochondria. So you're pulling electrons off the fuel and adding it to oxygen. You add four electrons to oxygen, you're home safe to water. But if you add them one at a time, you make powerful oxidants, superoxide and hydrogen peroxide and hydroxyl radical. So you make a little bit of this, but nature's more efficient than the usual engineer. You get 98 or 99% efficiency, but you're always bleeding off some of these oxidants. And those can destroy your mitochondria. They can destroy all sorts of structure in the cell. So it's like an old, and as you get old, the mitochondria decay, and they're putting out more oxidant byproducts and less efficiency.
And so that's when we talk about oxidation there in the cells, and the sort of like just a degenerative process.
Yeah, so it's like an old car engine. After you take an old engine from an old car, it's putting out more black smoke and getting less efficiency. And the same, and the aging, now there's more and more evidence that aging in a person is due to mitochondrial decay, that your mitochondria slowly decay, and you're just putting out more of these nasty byproducts that oxidize everything, and you get less efficiency out. And I'll talk about aging later, how we're making a lot of progress on aging, and everybody's going to live longer if they behave themselves.
All right.
So, but anyway, so you make all this energy is stored in this potential across the membrane. So it's just like a battery. A battery has a potential, and that enables you to get work and electricity out of it. And same thing with mitochondria, and that energy is used to make something called ATP, which is the high-energy molecule that powers your muscles and your brain and all your biochemistry. So you make kilos, pounds and pounds of this ATP every day in your body, and that gives you the energy to do all the things you do. So, and all that comes from this burning process in this little organelle called mitochondria. Now, as I say, there are about 500 of those per cell, and with aging, they decay. So, anyway, that process now seems to be key to aging, because Parkinson's disease has been linked to mitochondrial decay, and Alzheimer's disease and diabetes, a lot of diseases are linked to all. Anyway, so all this is going on in the cell, and nature is amazingly efficient, so it goes on pretty well, and we have defenses against oxidants. If you oxidize your DNA, there are enzymes creeping along the DNA looking for trouble, and they clip out that base before it becomes a mutation, the lesion in there. And so we're pretty well defended, but it still slowly decays with age, and eventually you get a vicious circle going down.
Well, it's really an amazing mechanism.
Lots of Nobel Prizes have been awarded for the people who figured all this out. And once you understand things, then the ways to intervene. So I'll talk about how we're intervening on aging. But the thing that I'm all excited by now is how unappreciated all these micronutrients are.
These are the micronutrients that we really need in our diet to remain healthy, and most people are totally unaware of it.
Yeah. So everybody knows you need energy, so you need to get your fuel and you breathe in oxygen. But not only do you need 15 minerals in your diet, you need about 15 vitamins and about 9 or so essential amino acids. And then you need a few, there are 2 essential fatty acids. And unless you get all these things, your biochemistry starts grinding away. It's like not putting oil in your car, except you need these 40 different kinds of components. So it's like a factory. If you don't have one ingredient coming in, you can't make your cars, you can't make your TV set. So, and a lot of us, by eating bad diets, are getting fuel, but they're not getting some key micronutrients. So that's, and everybody knows that 56% of the U.S. population is really low in magnesium. Magnesium is a mineral, and we all need it in our diet.
Now, this is magnesium you're speaking of specifically, and 56% of our population are low in magnesium, and I'll have to admit, when I was practicing medicine, I'd never even thought of magnesium.
Yeah.
In fact, the only thing you ever think about is when a woman's pregnant, she gets hypertension and convulses, well, you give her magnesium, but other than that, most doctors don't even bother to test for it.
And nobody's worried about it because they don't have a disease associated with it. And we just had a big new theory that we've just published on why the effects of too little magnesium you're not going to see right away, but it's all long-term. Basically, it's aging you faster when you don't have enough of one of these vitamins or minerals or essential fatty acids. And I'll talk about why I think that. So my feeling is that a lot of the brain decay and cancer and heart disease, all these diseases that you'll learn about soon enough as you get old, the degenerative disease of aging, why a lot of that is caused by not having the optimum amount of these micronutrients, the vitamins and minerals and amino acids and fatty acids that you need.
Now, do you think then that we might be able to live longer if we had all of these
micronutrients? Oh, yeah. No, so I think that we're figuring out how to get people to, I think, live longer, but people have to behave themselves. They have to get up to getting a good diet so they can live longer. Otherwise, you're just shortening your lifespan.
And, of course, then a lot of the criticism of the McDonald's, Burger King, or a Kentucky Fried Chicken diet are really rather legitimate. In other words, these are not healthy types of nutrition. Would that be a fair statement?
Well, I don't think government should be the nanny.
No, of course not, but we need
to. You don't want to eat the same. What you need is a good, balanced diet.
Right.
So you get all these vitamins and minerals. So, for example, where does magnesium come from? It's in the center of the chlorophyll molecule. That's the green color in all plants.
That's something like broccoli, certainly.
If you eat a plate of spinach, you're getting a big dose of magnesium. But if you don't eat your veggies, you're not getting it. And you get a little from whole grains. But the poor aren't eating whole grains. They're not eating a lot of veggies. So they're just all short of magnesium. And so it's a matter of a varied, balanced diet. And I think it's also making them hungry, because people think, obesity is just calories in and exercise out. But suppose the body knows that it's lacking magnesium, and it makes you hungry all the time, so you eat more food so you get the magnesium. And I think there's a little evidence, it's not proven, but I think it's plausible, and there's a little evidence pointing in that direction. If that's the case, obese people are eating these horrible diets that are very unbalanced. They're eating a lot of sugary soft drinks that fill you up and have no vitamins and minerals, and they're eating other donuts and things, again, that fill you up and have no vitamins and minerals, and then you're full, but you're starving. And what you're starving for is magnesium and iron and calcium and all these other things that your body needs, but you're not getting. And so I think the body's response is to make you hungry all the time. But the things you're eating don't have what the body's craving for. So that's our theory. Anyway, we're testing that right now. But so a lot of it is eating what your mom told you. Eat your veggies and eat a fair amount of fish. You know what fish supplies? It supplies the omega-3 essential fatty acids. You need two kinds of essential fatty acids that go into your fat. You need the omega-3s and the omega-6s. Well, it used to be that we were getting maybe 1-to-1 of omega-3s and omega-6s. That's about what we should be getting. But now we're getting 17 omega-6s for one omega-3. We're all starving for omega-3s. And your brain, 30% of the fatty acids in your brain are omega-3s, these long-chain fatty acids. So we're desperate to get these fatty acids. And where do you get them? Well, you get them from deep-sea fish. And you can get them from some grains and nuts and things like that. But people just aren't eating a good, enough balanced diet. So now you can get them from a pill. You can go to Costco or some other store and buy omega-3 pills. And they're cheap. All these micronutrients are cheap. It's just a matter of knowing that you need all these things and getting up to normal.
What about cod liver oil? I can remember that was an old remedy when I was growing up, and it was sort of a standard, you know. You have to take your teaspoon or of cod liver oil.
Yeah,
feeding.
Our grandmas knew that, but and they called it brain food. It is
right.
Brain food because 30% of your brain is these omega 3s.
In fact, the Catholics always used to insist that you ate, you know, ate fish on Friday. And training in Catholic hospitals, we ate fish on Friday, and we were probably a lot healthier. Not only
that,
we were getting iodine, and we were getting our omega 3 oils out of that, but. So much of this has been simply forgotten through the times, through the years, and certainly Dr. Ames is trying to bring this back again. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, you go right ahead, Dr. Ames.
Okay. So the problem, I think, is kids stop drinking water and start drinking sugary soft drinks.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four tape or a four CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Teary. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
kind of looked silvery, so they named it selenium.
But he said, you know, you don't want to take too much. Certainly copper is important, but you don't want to take too much
right.
of any of these things because you can get into trouble with it, and so you certainly want to be very guarded in what you do, but you have to have these to be healthy. And, of course, to talk about a good, well-balanced diet, but we're talking about fruits, and we're talking about vegetables, and we're talking about really emphasizing these things, because in most of our fruits and vegetables are the things that we really need to maintain our health, and not in the fast food items that we get so frequently, you know, at the stores today, or these things that are already prepared, and of course they've got all sorts of additives to them, but certainly a lot of these things that they're adding to our already prepared foods may make them taste better, but certainly they are either not doing any good, or they may even be doing some harm. So, Dr. Ames, please proceed.
Yeah, I have nothing against eating at McDonald's. You just don't want to do it every day. You want a balanced diet. And so you don't want to eat the same thing all the time. So you need, as people in nutrition have been saying for a long time, you need lots of fruits and vegetables. And Italians cook fruits and vegetables in these wonderful ways. I feel unhappy if I don't have fruits and vegetables at a meal.
Well, what about the fact that the Italians, of course, use olive oil, you know, as for cooking? Is
yes.
that important? Does olive oil have advantages as far as nutrition is concerned?
Well, olive oil is good oil, and you want to get oil that has some of these omega-3s, and you want... what you don't want are the trans fats, but those are being eliminated. And you don't want a lot of sugar. So have your kids drink water. You shouldn't have sugary soft drinks around.
Fill
them up with empty calories.
Could you explain to our listeners what trans fats are? Certainly we know that they're bad for us, but I don't think most people understand what they are, because for so many years we were told, oh, you don't want to eat butter, you know, you want to eat all these other things that, you know, which were not good for the people at all. What are trans fats?
Well, saturated fat is what you get from meat. It's more solid, it's tallow. And so, and then people learn that isn't so good for heart disease. You really want more unsaturated fat, like the fat in olive oil. And it's all a matter of balance. And then people realize you could take that vegetable oils tend to go rancid. It's the omega-3s that oxidize first. And then they figured out that you could add hydrogen to the fat and make it solid. So Crisco and things like that, instead of using animal fat, they used vegetable fat that you made solid. But when they do that, you get some of these unnatural trans fats, and they turned out to be even worse than the saturated fats. So we went from the frying pan into the fire. But now people are realizing those aren't so good for you, so they're phasing them out. And so to eat a good diet, you have to learn a little bit about nutrition, and there are good books out there, and one can learn that. But mainly it's getting a varied diet, lots of all these different things. So I got interested in mechanisms. So why, particularly about micronutrients, because they're cheap and people are very low in a lot of them. There's something called the RDA, the Recommended Dietary Allowance, and that's the amount that would get 95% of the population getting the amount they need. And if you go 2 standard deviations below that, I won't explain what that is, but it's a fair amount below that, you have something called the EAR, the Estimated Average Requirement, and that's a measure of population inadequacy. So when you're at the EAR, it means that half the population is deficient and half is okay. So if you're below the EAR, then your people consider that's really way too low.
Yeah, because what we really don't know is really there are all of these things out there. When 56% of our population is deficient in magnesium, something seriously wrong. And I've questioned some of Dr. Ames' material, and perhaps we can talk later about how you can get that. He points out that a number of these macronutrients we are deficient in, and magnesium is so important, as so many of these other things are. And unless we know about them, we're going to continue to really suffer the consequences. We'll be right back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Dr. Bruce Ames. Dr. Ames, go right ahead.
Hi. So I got interested in vitamins and minerals, and we started taking human cells in culture and making them a little deficient in iron or in zinc or magnesium or various vitamins. And in every case, we started seeing DNA damage. The DNA was getting damaged, and you're getting mutations in the DNA when you made them a little short of a vitamin or mineral. I said, why the hell is that going on? Something's wrong. And why is nature doing that? And then it suddenly hit me why nature wants that. So what I think is whenever you're short of a vitamin and mineral, you pay a price for cancer and increase your risk of cancer, but it comes years down the road. And it knocks out your immune system, but at that you see years down the road. So the price you're paying for not getting your magnesium or your biotin or your iron or whatever is long-term damage. Basically, it's aging you faster. And the reason I think that is through all of evolution, animals were running out of some mineral or other because every living creature needs 15 minerals. They're not spread evenly through the world. So animals were running out of magnesium or running out of iron or running out of copper or running out of manganese. So what does nature want? Nature wants the animal to survive so it can reproduce. That's what natural selection is about. And so when it's a choice between immediate survival and long-term health, it goes for immediate survival. So anything long-term has to wait at the end of the queue, has to wait for that magnesium that hopefully will come along. And so what that means is you lose the ability to repair your DNA, you lose the ability to protect your DNA, you lose your adaptive immunity. So the price you're paying in all of this is long-term damage. Basically, all the things that come home to roost when you age. So I had a big paper on all of this. I call it triage, which is making decisions on the battlefield, wounded soldiers you help and which you can't when you have too many of them. And that's the ones who are going to die anyway. Well, that's too bad, but you can't do anything. So you do somebody you can save. And so the triage in vitamin mineral shortage is long-term suffers at the price of short.
Hold that thought right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Dr. Bruce Ames, and we're talking about the importance of an adequate diet, but understanding that there are certain things we need. There are 40 micronutrients, and there are about 15 minerals, and there certainly are essential fatty acids. And we have to realize we have to get them all the time, and if we don't, because Dr. Ames thinks that suddenly down the line you will be predisposed to cancer. And it is a shortage in many respects of these micronutrients and minerals and essential acids and amino acids that if we don't have them, these cells become damaged and then there'll be a cancerous change and transformation. Well, Dr. Ames, do you have some papers? Do you have a website?
Oh, yeah, I have a website.
Go right ahead. Could you put that out? Where people could learn more about what we're talking about tonight.
It's www.bruceames, Bruce, A-M-E-S, all written together, .org. And we have a lot of our papers up there. So, and I'm going to put a few lectures up there, too. So what that means is if, in fact, what we should be measuring is not acute damage like scurvy or beriberi or all these diseases that came from vitamin deficiencies, but what you want to measure is things like DNA damage or your immune dysfunction, things that only show up more long-term. Basically, aging is all these long-term things that finally come in. So, because things slowly decay and your brain goes out and your heart goes out and you get cancer and all these things. Well, you're just accelerating that process when you don't get your vitamins and minerals and essential fatty acids. And all these things are dirt cheap. Now, it shouldn't be you just take a pill and everything's okay, because you need your fiber, which you get from your veggies and your whole grains and things like that. And you need your omega-3s, which you don't get in a multivitamin. There's not enough potassium in a multivitamin. And there's not enough magnesium and calcium in a multivitamin. They just make them way too big to swallow. So you have to think a little bit about all of this. So try and eat a good diet and take a multivitamin mineral with insurance and maybe a fish oil omega-3 pill as well.
All right.
Then if you have a dark skin, you should be taking vitamin D, because the whole northern tier of the United States is vitamin D deficient. Because vitamin D is a hormone. It's called a vitamin, but it's really a hormone. And you need a certain amount of that every day. And where do you get it from? Well, you can make it yourself, but you need 20 minutes or a half hour of ultraviolet light from the sun to make it in your skin. And if you go out and get a little sunshine, then you're making your vitamin D. But if you're up in if you're in Chicago, you're not getting a lot of vitamin D, and particularly if you're indoors watching TV all the time. And then if you have a dark skin, you need six times as much sunshine as white skin to make your vitamin D. So a dark skin is protects you against too much UV. In Africa or southern India or New Guinea, racially completely different people, they have very brown skins because it protects them against ultraviolet light from the sun. Otherwise, they get burnt and eaten by a lion or something. And so you need... So we understand why they have dark skin. It's a big advantage when you're in tropical country. On the other hand, you go to Chicago or Detroit and you're not getting any sunshine, then you're in trouble. So we know vitamin D is required for mobilizing your calcium. You get rickets if the kid doesn't have enough vitamin D. All the bones are crooked and other bad things. And then vitamin D deficiency turning out to be a huge risk factor for cancer if you don't have enough vitamin D.
And I think that's really something I think has only been recognized recently, is the relationship between cancer and vitamin D deficiency.
Yeah, but I think every vitamin deficiency is going to give you cancer. That's what my new theory says, this triage theory. And every mineral deficiency is going to give you cancer. And then in addition, we just sent a big review off, which has just been accepted, that the brain is actually full of vitamin D receptors. It's doing something important in the brain. So you want a normal brain development, you need to get your vitamin D. And if you don't have it, then you're in trouble. And so I think anybody who has a darker skin, the African Americans and the Hispanics, ought to take a vitamin D pill. Because unless they're out in the sun a lot and getting a lot of sunshine, because they need a lot more sunshine than other people.
And because there would probably be a D3, wouldn't that?
Yeah, that's what's in the pills now, D3.
Okay, fine. So I really think that people have to begin thinking along these lines. And there is so much evidence, really, to show the relationship between cancer, you know, and vitamin D deficiency. And
there's a lot coming out now. And I wouldn't say it's pinned down 100%, but there's more and more epidemiology. Epidemiology is a difficult field. That's the field where you look at what's causing disease and try and figure out the cause. But it's very complicated. People are complicated, so it's not easy. The epidemiologist's joke is Miami's a weird place. Everybody's born Hispanic and dies Jewish. So that's called confounding, when something's going on that you're not thinking about.
Well, you know, of course, I can remember when I was very, very young, of course, before the antibiotics came out for tuberculosis. I mean, what did you do? People were going to die of tuberculosis. You took them to a sanitarium. You gave them fresh air and sunshine.
Yeah, exactly. And they were all coming from Paris or these northern cities, and they were all vitamin D deficient.
Right.
So you needed to keep up your immune system, and you needed to protect your DNA.
And, of course, people used to get well from tuberculosis in those days and vitamin D that they got from the sunshine, because this is the sunshine diet vitamin. If you get sunshine, why, your body actually manufactures your own vitamin D. That's the thing.
Now, they add vitamin D to milk, but most adults don't drink milk when they're adults. And 75% of African Americans are lactose intolerant, so they don't drink milk at all. And so they're just not getting their vitamin D. You can get a little bit again from seafood, but not much. And so, anyway, it's the information's out there, and it's just now I think we ought to have a campaign to get all the vitamin D up to normal. But I think we should get all our vitamins up to normal. It's the price. I think we're going to save a huge amount of money in medical bills if you get everybody healthy.
Now, what are we going to do about the obesity? How are we going to get people to lose weight? I mean, certainly exercise is important, and cutting back on calorie intake is important, but some people really just can't seem to get over that barrier.
Well, maybe it's because they're eating bad diets and they're hungry all the time. So if you want to lose weight, what I think you ought to do is give up sugary soft drinks, give up white bread, give up potatoes, all this white, empty calories that doesn't have vitamins and minerals, and eat a much more balanced diet, lots of fruits and vegetables, nuts, more fish and all these kinds of things. And we've made a bar now that we think that has everything that obese people are lacking, and we're just doing a clinical trial to see if it really works to cut their appetite and improve their blood markers and all of that. We'll know in a while.
Well, certainly I think that this is really a very, very real problem, and I think that most people really don't recognize the importance of nutrition now. Let's just go ahead and put the telephone numbers out. If we have anybody out there who'd like to ask a question, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Dr. Ames is a professor, certainly dealing with these things and studying them, and certainly doing clinical trials to determine. Of course, it is his thesis that one of the major causes of cancer certainly is poor nutrition. If we're seeing such a dramatic rise in cancer at the beginning of the last century, they used to say that one person in 33 would have cancer. Today it's every other person.
Now,
that is rather frightening.
Now, most of that rise is actually due to smoking.
Right.
Because smoking is causing 90% of lung cancer, and that really dominates the cancer system. Now, diets are probably, for most people, are probably better than they were in the old days because we have fruit available all year round and vegetables available. And so we're probably eating better. The old diet was often meat and potatoes. So in some ways we're better off if you know. So I think most middle-class people are eating really a better diet than they used to. But you have to avoid junk. I mean, avoid empty calories. You don't want to eat a lot of cake for dessert. You eat fruit for dessert. You don't want to drink sugary soft drinks. You drink water. And all of that, your mom knew that, and so we've somehow lost that information.
And, of course, you always talk about eating the green vegetables, eating the yellow vegetables, and you're supposed to have both the green and the yellow vegetables with every meal.
Yeah, no, so I'd like to say a little bit also about aging.
All right, you go right ahead.
Okay. So it used to be I knew the dozen people in the world who were good who were working on aging, but the scientists around the world. But now there's thousands of bright young people that are working on aging, and there's a lot of progress. We have all the tools, everything's ripe, and we think we've made an advance in aging, because we think a lot of it is due to this mitochondrial decay in cells. Mitochondria are the power plants, and with age, they start getting less efficiency and putting out more oxygen side products. And we figured out ways to feed old rats a couple of normal mitochondrial biochemicals that make this better, acetylcarnitine and lipoic. And in fact, the university took out a patent on our discovery, and I formed a company with a businessman friend called Juvenon. I put all my stock in a foundation, so I don't get any money from the company and won't. It all goes into a foundation. But in any case, Juvenon's selling millions of dollars worth of these pills over the web, and I think it's going to really help. It helps the brain of old rats, it helps the brain of old dogs, and I think it's going to help the brain of old people.
Well, now, of course, what is in this product? Is it primarily just minerals and vitamins?
Yeah, it's just two normal biochemicals, acetylcarnitine and lipoic acid, that are used in the mitochondria, and that decay with age, and this seems to make the mitochondria more like young mitochondria, and they don't bleed out all these oxidants, and they work more efficiently.
All right, we have a caller who wants to know if honey is good for you, and he wants also to know if the this royal jelly, which so many people are taking, that comes from the beehives, has any medicinal properties.
Yeah, honey is fine. It's mostly sugar, so you don't want to fill up with it, but a little honey is fine. And again, all these things in moderation. As Oscar Wilde said two things. He said, I can resist anything but temptation. But he also said, moderation in all things, even moderation. So anyway, you don't want to pig out on anything, but a little bit of all these things is good. The trick is balance.
All right, fine.
I'm really hopeful that there's going to be a lot of progress in aging, and I hope we contribute a little bit to that.
What about this resveratrol, which, of course, is the red wine, the molecule found in red wine? Is that beneficial as far as aging? Is there anything to suggest it is?
Now, there's some suggestive evidence, but, again, it's fairly large amounts, and you don't want to get it through red wine only because, you know, there's a risk for crashing. If you get too many glasses of red wine, you'll crash your car into a tree or somebody else, and there's a downside to that, too. But, again, in moderation, a little red wine is probably okay for you.
What about these red wine pills that supposedly are the resveratrol in them as a supplement to diet? Is there any benefit to that?
Well, I wouldn't say we know the final answer yet. So it may be helpful, but it's still in the very iffy stage.
Now, what is this alpha-lipoic acid that you speak of, too? What is its function?
Well, it's a coenzyme for pyruvate dehydrogenase and alpha-ketoglutarate dehydrogenase, and those are long biochemical words, but it helps generate energy in the mitochondria, and with age, it sort of goes down, and we found, in fact, it turns out to be very useful in inducing all your antioxidant defenses. I did this with a former terrific postdoc in my lab, Tori Hagen, who's up in Oregon now, did all this beautiful work.
Now, what was the other thing you mentioned? Alpha-lipoic acid and then another product?
Acetylcarnitine.
Acetylcarnitine,
yeah.
Okay.
So you can get those, the best quality, in a pill from Juvenon, which is a company, and we're using the money for doing clinical trials. And, they now are selling a dog product because a paper's coming out showing it improves the IQ of old beagle dogs.
it accuses the IQ. What about old people like me, older senior citizens?
So we don't know yet in people, but if you're an old dog or an old rat, you can be very enthusiastic. If you're an old person, you have to wait for clinical trials, but I suspect it's going to work. And we have
some positive evidence in humans on blood pressure, and we'll get more as the money comes in from the company. It's going to all these clinical trials. And I'm not, as I say, I'm not making any money from it.
Well, I know, Chris, I think it's important that, you know...
Yeah,
that
so I'm really optimistic. I think people are going to live longer, which, of course, means Social Security will go broke even faster because, you know, the government spent all the money, and when they set it up in the 30s, life expectancy was about 60 years, and so they thought everybody would be dead by 65, and the numbers seemed to make some sense, so it was always putting it on the next generation.
But of course
now it's all a Ponzi scheme, and the government spent all the money, and so you're not going to get any of it.
And I think people better find out that there really is no money there, that if you're paying into Social Security now, you're just not going to get anything down the line.
No, and
they know that. That's why they've got to come up with some means of dumping the whole system without ever admitting they've been lying to the American people.
The government is $66 trillion in the hole with Medicaid and Social Security and these things. I mean, it's more than the whole country is worth.
And of course,
so
the solution to that...
All this politicians rob A to pay B so they can get reelected, and it all comes down to your children and then the grandchildren. So we keep on pushing everything to the next generation. It's this idea, oh, government's going to look after you, but everybody thinks short-term. So
hold that thought. We're going to be right back here. Our guest has been Dr. Bruce Ames, and hope you've enjoyed his program. Well, Dr. Ames, we've got 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program.
Okay. So the bottom line is your mom knew what she was talking about. Eat your vegetables and maybe take a fish oil pill, or at least eat some deep-sea fish, and live a prudent life, and you're going to live longer than your parents lived and then their parents lived, because life expectancy keeps on getting longer, and I think it's going to get longer. But you have to behave. You can't get fat. That's lots of years off your life with all sorts of horrible diseases like diabetes. And you can't smoke because that's 8 years off your life. And so do a little exercise and eat well, and everything will be fine.
Yeah, and of course, that's certainly a good sound advice that, you know, people knew many, many years ago. And we've gotten away from the things that certainly are logical, and we're doing so many things today that really are hazardous to our health.
Yeah, and don't let your kids drink sugary soft drinks. It's a disaster because it fills them up, and then they don't even get the vitamins and minerals. And that ruins their brains and ruins their metabolism and everything. So, again, an occasional Coke is fine, but you just don't want to make a habit of something that's going to fill you up with empty calories. You need all your vitamins and minerals.
Well, how about these artificial sweeteners like NutraSweet or Splenda, things like that? Are they a good alternative to the sugar in our soft drinks?
Well, I don't know. I go with water. I think you get used to water, and that's what we're designed to drink. So you drink a glass of water when you're thirsty. And and then if you want a snack, eat a carrot or something, or some few nuts, or something that gives you lots of vitamins and minerals and fiber and all the things you need.
And they're
really much more tasty than all the sweet stuff.
And because when you have something sweet, usually it makes you get more hungry, and you're better off simply to avoid it completely. Well, Dr. Ames, I really appreciate you taking the time to be with us this evening, and I hope our listeners will heed your advice.
It was a pleasure, and as I say, my website is www.bruceames.org, and there are lots of papers if people want to dig into it in more detail.
And of course, I've read the papers. They're excellent. I commend you for it, and I appreciate so much your willingness to be with us. Thank you so very much.
It's a pleasure. Good night.
Good night. And of course, our guest this evening, Professor Bruce Ames, and he's with the University of California. That's bruceames.org.com. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and there's really so much in nutrition that most people do not understand. We carry a great book. It's called The miracle of magnesium, and of course we also through our health division actually can put you in touch with getting this magnesium. You have to be careful which one you get. I said you want to get something like a magnesium citrate that's readily absorbable. Most people are magnesium deficient, and actually magnesium will tend to even out your heart rate and get your muscles working better, do away with leg cramps. We are deficient in magnesium. We're deficient in so many of those things. Certainly, we carry a wonderful book written by our good friend, Dr. Russell Blaylock, who I've known Russell for, oh, better part of 30 years, and certainly he's an honest man, a neurosurgeon, retired now, and he's actually written a book called Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. That's Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. And they talk about these acetylcarnate and the alpha-lipoic acid. I know we carry the alpha-lipoic acid as well. The things that we carry, the things that my wife and I take, and if you'd like to know more about that, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. If you like a health catalog, why, it's there, but we recommend Dr. Blaylock's excellent book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. We also recommend the book entitled The Miracle of Magnesium, because I will tell you that this is something most people do not understand. Most physicians don't understand nutrition, and it's only been recently then, in response to the epidemic of of heart disease, why doctors have been recommending a vegetarian diet and getting on to more fish and getting on to chicken and things of that sort. That is so vitally, vitally important. Health and Nutrition Secrets, The Miracle of Magnesium. If you'd like a health catalog, we'd be glad to provide it for you. But the most important thing is to understand that we are being poisoned by so many things in our diet. Aspartame, of course, produces pathological obesity, and if you do not know about NutraSweet and the things that they're putting in your diet, why, you need to get, of course, the book, Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills, and certainly we have a number of tape sets on the dangers of aspartame. Produces pathological obesity in every animal it's given to. They give it to cattle before they're slaughtered so they get them fat. And we're putting it in everything you are eating and your children are eating, and the same with MSG. And then, of course, the mercury that, of course, we're getting into our teeth, the mercury is in the vaccines. The doctors insist we take the influenza vaccine. Why would you put, you know, something, thimerosal is what they put in your influenza vaccine. It's too toxic to be put on the skin. It's the old methylate and mercurochrome. We outlawed it because it's too toxic to put on the skin. But roll up your sleeve and we'll give you a shot of it. You need to get our four tape set on mercury autism and the global population agenda. It's a DVD by our good friend, Dr. David Hayub. And when you get the DVD, you get a free CD-ROM that has thousands of pages of suppressed government documents. The people in government know what's going on, but if they want to keep their jobs, they keep silent. And if you're a good boy and you work for government, you can retire, you know, and then you go to work for the drug companies. And you go to work for the manufacturers of these terribly toxic products, and then, of course, you get a golden parachute. Does this really happen? Certainly it does. In fact, you should read the book, What You Should Know About the Drug Companies, by Dr. Marshall Angel. I think that's the title, but Dr. Marshall Angel's book on the staff at Harvard, former editor of the New England Journal of Medicine. He tells you how things really work in Washington, D.C., not how you would imagine they work. And understand, of course, behind all of this, there are spiritual forces. They're poisonous with fluoride. And, of course, you're going to have to learn what you can do to protect yourself and your family. Our number again, 1-800-544-8927. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty for the next hour. Thank you. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming at you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the stations you're listening to. They happen to be my views and the views of our guests. And for the second hour, we're having Barry Shamish with us. And Barry is an Israeli citizen. He's an Israeli patriot. And he has been trying for many years to convince the people of Israel that their leaders are betraying them. And, of course, all you need to do is look at the current leaders of Israel. There's a man named Olmert who's being investigated for fraud and misconduct, and he is the premier or prime minister of Israel. And, of course, then there's Peres. And Peres, of course, has been involved with a number of assassinations, according to Barry. And Barry has certainly written extensively about the murder of Rabin, the former prime minister of Israel. And then there's a fellow named Barak. He is the defense minister who's recently gone all over Israel and at gunpoint collected the gas masks from the Israeli citizens and now refuses to give them back. And, of course, there's a very real possibility that if there is a war between Israel and Syria, that they will be using chemical or biological weapons, probably chemical weapons, because it is my personal belief that Saddam Hussein's weapons of mass destruction, which were built incidentally with chemical and biological material that came from the United States and was given to Saddam Hussein along with billions of dollars so that he could develop his weapons, that those weapons of mass destruction ended up in Syria. And if you find that difficult to believe, I suggest you simply go on the internet and Google and you type in Saddam Hussein WMD Syria, and you'll find literally hundreds of sites that will tell you the same story, and I have it from reliable information. So if there really is even the vague possibility of the use of chemical weapons in this coming war between Israel and Syria, why would Barak have picked up at gunpoint the gas masks from the Israeli citizens and won't give them back again, even though that all of the people, the experts in Israel, are pleading with them to do it? And I think Barry would probably agree with me that the leaders of Israel are intent upon betraying the citizens of Israel. Would you agree with that, Barry?
Oh, my. What you're talking about is contemporary insanity going on in Israel right now. Barak is, what he's claiming is he's not trying to panic the people, okay, by handing out gas masks. But why is he panicking the people by withdrawing gas masks? So, look, if you're an Israeli, nothing makes sense anymore, nothing. And you're walking around in kind of a haze and a fog, and your government is going door to door, taking back your gas masks, and they're promising they'll be renewed, and they'll be better than ever, and suddenly there's no more renewal. You've lost the last protection against a chemical attack. And if you're an Israeli, you're wondering what the heck is going on. And this, by the way, is actually contemporary Israel at this moment. Barak, and I looked at the news today before I went on the air just to be a little more prepared. Well, Barak is holding stiff. He is not going to give gas masks to anybody. This is our defense minister. Why would the defense minister withhold gas masks in the face of a Syrian onslaught? You tell me that. I know the answer, by the way.
well, I know the answer, too, and I hope at least we can convince our listeners that the leaders of Israel, like the leaders of America, are betraying their countrymen. We'll be back in just a moment here with Barry Shamish. Go right ahead, Barry.
Well, I wrote a piece, and I'm glad you enjoyed. We spoke earlier today, and, I mean, Dr. Stan keeps me on my toes, let me tell you that. In the morning we spoke about the article I wrote, which you have read, of course, and not many other people have, unfortunately. I am getting reaction, but I chronologically, day by day, piece by piece, personality by personality, showed what went around Peres' visit to Rome on September 6th. Now, this was no ordinary visit. This was, of course, Peres getting the big marching orders. And the big marching orders are, seriously, no fooling around, the president of Israel is going to bring down the country. Now, let's start with that horrible concept that people just don't understand. Why would a Jew, the president of a country, bring down his very own country, supposedly his own children, his own neighbors, his own friends? Well, because he hates Jews. And this is not something simple for people to understand. And now, you've got something similar in America, and I'm not going into that because I'm not an expert on America, and I wouldn't dare to intrude knowledge which is just pure speculation, but you've got people at the top of your country who's, well, they're doing terrible damage to the average American, but in Israel, it's going to lead to the end of the country, and by the way, very, very soon. In November, there's going to be a conference in Washington. Your grand president, Bush, is arranging a conference in Washington where Israel had better darn well show up with a program to give the Palestinians or whoever represents them, and by the way, that's very iffy. I want you to know that. No one represents them. Hamas is ruling Gaza, and apparently the PLO is still ruling the West Bank or Judea and Samaria, but there's no nation there. It's a joke. There are tribes there. And these tribes hate each other, and they are genetically not even the same nation. In Gaza, most of the residents came initially from Egypt, whereas in the Judea and Samaria, most of the residents came from Iraq, Syria, and Jordan. They don't even like each other. Nonetheless, Olmert had better show up, or whoever he sends, which will probably be Peres. And I'll get to that in one moment.
All right, you hold that thought because we want to pull our other station back here right now. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Barry Shamish, and we're talking, of course, about Olmert. Now, Olmert is the prime minister of Israel. Peres is the president, and, of course, it's largely a ceremonial position, always has been in the past, although Peres is actually taking more power to himself. Barak is the military leader in charge of defense, and all three of them are part of this triumvirate that hates Israel and is intent upon betraying it, just as here in the United States we have a group of people that we call the globalists who have no loyalty to America. Their loyalty is this idea of a new world order, a world government, a new world religion, and a new world leader. And, of course, the globalists, the CFR, the group, the clique that runs America, because our Secretary of State, Democrat or Republican, always comes from there. I mean, no exceptions, going back almost 50 years. They control both political parties and the wealth of our nation and the Federal Reserve Board and the foundations, and they also control Israel. And people want to tell you, oh no, the Zionists control Washington, D.C., and don't you believe it for a minute. It is the globalists who control Israel. Now, there certainly are some Zionists working in Washington, D.C., but they are not pro-Israel, because if they were pro-Israel, they would not be doing everything they can to force the Jews to retreat from Gaza, to pull their troops and the people out of Judea and Samaria, which will cut what little Israel is left there in two. These people have an intense hatred for Israel, and they're using the power of the United States and working in concert with both the communists and the Vatican to destroy what remains of Israel today. Go ahead, Barry.
What am I supposed to do with that? That's hours of discussions. Look, I'm trying to simplify this so people can understand. And it's not easy, by the way. I look when I write for an angle, something that in people's ordinary lives, they can take all these strange Hebrew names and somehow make some sense of them and give a personality to each name and get them to understand who is destroying Israel and why and so forth. And that last little one-minute spiel of yours makes it about an hour to just to sort out the basic names. Look, Olmert is prime minister. He has been investigated by the Israeli state controller on five separate occasions for stealing public funds. That's the prime minister of Israel. And it's worse, of course, but we're going to leave it at that right now. Barak is the defense minister. He has, well, look, he has abandoned his troops in a major scandal called Selim Bet. That was the name of the training base where five soldiers were killed in a rocket attack by Israeli rockets in a training mission. He got in a helicopter, flew back to Tel Aviv, met with Rabin to get out of this mess, and that's one incident where he left soldiers dead on the field, and just, well, he hauled ass. That's what he did. He got the hell out of there. But 1982, Lebanon, something I know a little more about than I want to, because I was a soldier in Lebanon. I went into the Lebanese war on June 6th of 1982. That was the day that it broke out, and not much, well, I guess it was early July. There was a horrible incident at a place called Sultan Yaakob where 23 Israelis were killed trying to extricate a religious armored unit who drove into a Syrian ambush. In short, Barak was the leader who gave them the order to drive into a death trap, and he did it to bring down Menachem Begin, the coup leader of Israel, and his war for, really, his honest war to get the PLO out of our hair. He was going to sabotage it. That is our defense minister. Of Tzipi Livni, our foreign minister, we don't have the same garbage. We know she's stupid. We know that she's really a puppet, and I mean a puppet of Condoleezza Rice. And that everything that Condoleezza Rice says, she repeats. And by the way, she speaks English like I speak Swahili. So, she's just really, the strings are on her arms and shoulders, and she just does what she's told. But she's not a criminal as the others are. And finally, well, Chaim Ramon, he is the deputy prime minister, two away from the prime minister's post. He was really, now folks, he French kissed an 18-year-old soldier a few months from her birthday. He was that close to pedophilia charges not even a few months ago, and is now deputy prime minister of Israel. So to make life easier, one, Olmert, he is a thief. He is part of the mafia. Right now, he's not the head of the mafia. He is just an ordinary mafia thug. Number one, he is prime minister of Israel. Number two, we have Ehud Barak, a coward who ended up the most decorated soldier in Israeli history. He is a coward, leaves his men dead in the field, sends men to their death. And, of course, Chaim Ramon, who is a pedophile. He is deputy prime minister of Israel. Forget Tzipi Livni right now. It's getting too complicated. Those are the political leaders of Israel, leading Israel to its destruction.
I think we should mention the previous president of Israel, who, of course, it was left office, with what he promised not to contest, the fact that he'd been charged with the raping of six women, and, of course, he was allowed then to retire without charges being brought against him. I mean, what a group of people to lead a nation. Six
we
women.
We forgot Shimon Peres.
I know.
We haven't even got to the real meat of the whole.
Uh-huh.
And the puppet master who, on behalf of the Vatican, and I assure you, I'm not saying this lightly, on behalf of the Vatican, leading the whole orchestra of the Israeli mafia wrecking the country, is the president, Shimon Peres. Now, folks, I don't know if you've read me. I don't know if you've heard me. I've been doing this for a long time. Shimon Peres is a serial murderer. And I don't say that lightly. I mean every word of it. I wrote a book called Who Murdered Yitzhak Rabin. I later wrote books like Save Israel, Bye Bye Gaza, Shabtai Tzvi, Labor Zionists in the Holocaust. All of the facts against Peres are proven. And believe me, no one has sued me or arrested me for stating these facts.
No, but they certainly tried to finish you off over there in Israel, which is why Barry had to flee and come to the United States.
Well, that was the Sharon murder. One more murder, of course. He's alive, theoretically. He's lying on a hospital bed waiting for a brain transplant, which I've said often enough, but why is he still alive? Yes. When I started investigating Sharon's peculiar death, he had a stroke on December 18th. The year was 2005. December 18th, the year 2005, after having a little meeting with Shimon Peres, a half an hour after drinking tea with Shimon Peres, he had a stroke. He was brought into hospital by Yoram Rubin, the personal bodyguard of Yitzhak Rabin, who shot him, who took a gun and shot Rabin. The actual murder of Yitzhak Rabin was his personal bodyguard named Yoram Rubin. Folks, you can't follow this. It's too much. Look, you follow the rhythm of the mafia without getting down into the details of who's in this mafia, because you'll lose me, and believe it or not, I'm on your side. I'm trying to make you understand what a vicious criminal network is running Israel into the ground at this very moment. And it's just too complicated to go into the whole thing. But simplified, Peres went to the Vatican on September 6th. Now, I'm going to simplify this meeting. We've got the basic mafia now. I hope somebody records this, or listens to your archives, or goes to my website, www.barrychamish.com, and hears this, and you'll be able to sort this out. But the real story this week was Shimon Peres met the Pope.
So why is the president of Israel, who really is only a ceremonial president by according to the Constitution, why is he going to the Vatican to meet with the Catholic Pope? Certainly he's, you know, the Catholic Pope's Catholic. The Shimon Peres supposedly is Jewish. So why is he going over to meet with the Pope? And what's the real significance of that?
Supposedly is right. His mother, from all the sources I have, is not Jewish. Shimon Peres was raised in a Jesuit school only till the age of 9, I want you to know. But nonetheless, Yitzhak Rabin, in his 1977 book, made this amazing statement that Peres went to school and was educated by the Jesuits in Poland before he came to Israel. Now, I don't want to stress that too much, because, look, he was 9 years old. I mean, how much could you inculcate a 9-year-old boy? But nonetheless, it's true. He was educated in Poland at a Jesuit school. And you know what? It's probably more significant than I'm letting on right now, but I would not say that Shimon Peres is a Jew. I would say he despises Jews. He is a classic anti-Semite. And, well, he was the one who met another classic anti-Semite, Benedict XVI, on September 6th. Now, I wrote
hold
an
that
article.
Hold that thought. Hold
article.
That thought right there, Barry. We'll be back just a
right
moment.
Right you are.
All right, Barry, go right ahead.
Well, let's draw in background. Let's in all this tragedy, let's have some fun, sort of. Benedict the 15th is a very interesting pope. Benedict the 16th named himself after Benedict the 15th. People, Benedict the 15th became pope on August 14th of 1914. He was the pope during the First World War. Know this, people. He was the war pope. Benedict the 16th, the current sitting the pope, is a Nazi. And by the way, he actually was a Nazi soldier. Everybody is covering this up, that he was actually serving in Hitler's army. They're saying he didn't mean it. That's it. He joined the SS. No less than the SS. Hitler Youth ended up in Hitler's army, but he didn't mean it. Well, that's the story we've been getting anyways. You've got a Nazi pope. Okay? Now look, in any high-ranking organization, if a person served in Hitler's army, you don't rise to the top. That's not done. It's too much of a black eye. But not the Vatican. The current pope was a Nazi soldier who served in Hitler Youth. This is all fact. Folks, when Paris meets Benedict the 16th, he knows he is meeting a Nazi. Oop, I don't hear music, right?
You don't hear music, right?
Oh, fantastic. Now look, this is a very complicated story, and I wrote the article. Go to my website, BarryChalmers.com. If it's not up today, it will be shortly. There was a lot of flimflamming before the meeting. Now look, again, I don't want to patronize people. I don't have to patronize you. It's your listeners who don't know this background history. King Juan Carlos believes he is the holy guardian of Jerusalem's holy sites.
That's King Juan Carlos. You're speaking of King of Spain.
Oh, I sure am.
Okay, great.
Who else but the famous Juan Carlos? He believes that he has the right to guard over the holy sites of Jerusalem of Christendom. Well, that means the Crusades, of course. That's where this title erupted, was after the Second Crusade, when the Vatican, under Frederick Barbarossa, actually took over Jerusalem. Dr. Stan, did you actually look at the DVD I sent you?
Yes, I did.
What do you think?
Well, I think it's a very interesting DVD.
Oh, boy. That leaves things to... well, it's not an enthusiastic review. Can we do a little better than that?
Well, of course, for the people who have any question at all, there's a relationship between, certainly between Simon Perez and the Vatican. And you have to ask yourself, why would there be a relationship between Simon Perez, who's a very unsavory individual, and the Vatican? And this is what Barry addresses in this DVD he's put out. And I think it's a very interesting part of history.
Thank you, sir. That's about right. It's a very complicated story. And I don't even know why I'm sitting in Florida discussing this story.
Hold this thought. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. And for our listeners out there, let me suggest that there's a book. We don't carry it, but we do have a tape on it. It's actually by a Jesuit priest named Father Malachi Martin, and many of our Catholic listeners will recognize that name. And Father Malachi Martin talks about certainly the people who really run the world. And he said there were basically three of them. There was the red, they were the communists. They were the gold, they were the transnationalists. And they're talking about the CFR, Bilderberger, CFR group here in the United States. And then, of course, the Vatican, these three major forces all vying for power in this new world order. And I think it's a very important book. It's called The Keys of This Blood, written by Malachi Martin. And we do have an interview with him in our four-tape set on the wisdom of Malachi Martin. So here you're hearing it from the Catholic point of view, and certainly Father Martin, I had privy to Vatican intelligence. I can personally tell you that I have knowledge that he was closely tied into intelligence, and he was working here. Wonderful person, loved him, loved interviewing him, but he gives you tremendous insight into who's really running the world. And one of those three forces is the Vatican. Pick up the story there, Barry.
Yes, and you sent me the tapes. Very interesting stuff, by the way. Malachi Martin is certainly a proud Catholic. This is what shocked me, really, was his point of view was not universal, not the slightest, but he was anti-corruption. And there was something honest about his fight against corruption. It reminded me of my own against the Jewish establishment. I'm certainly very Jewish, and I always will be. And Malachi is certainly Catholic, and he, I guess, to his dying days was. But we were both fighting the corruption and the crime in our establishments. But I don't think he understood just how tied up this Shimon Peres was to the Vatican. I noticed he didn't mention that. In my DVD, boy, do I mention that. I make the connections between Israel's top leadership, led by Peres. By the way, as I said before, kills people. He doesn't like him. He kills them. He has no conscience whatsoever. And the Vatican. Now, after Peres won the last election, 6 days after his Kadima party took control of Israel, he took his first foreign journey as a minister of the new government. It was to see the Pope. And his first foreign venture abroad as president of Israel was to see the Pope. Now, let's keep it nice and easy. He takes his orders from the Vatican. That's simple. We've erased a lot of stuff that's on the DVD, but that's a simple fact. He is doing the Vatican's dirty work in Israel. The dirty work will take place in Washington this November. Now, what I said to you, and I hope you'll even reread it, were all the meetings before Peres arrived in Vatican, and that includes the Italian foreign minister flies to Egypt, meets Mubarak, meets the heads of the Arab League, flies to Israel, meets the PLO in Ramallah, then finally he meets the Israeli government, and then flies back to Italy where he meets Shimon Peres, who is sitting with the Pope. That's an actual fact. Now, I want to add one very, very serious fact. When he was in Jerusalem, he met with Tony Blair. Tony Blair was the Prime Minister of England. When he resigned that position, he became the chief negotiator of what is known as the Quartet. The Quartet, I believe, let's go through it, the EU, Russia, the United Nations, and the United States, if I'm not mistaken, is the Quartet. They are planning to destroy Israel. Now, he meets with Tony Blair. Tony Blair is all tied up with George Bush. I don't have to tell your listeners about that horrible alliance that is now raping Iraq and Afghanistan. We know all about Blair and Bush. Why did the Italian foreign minister meet with Blair before flying back to Italy and meeting with Peres and the Pope? Well, we know why. It's a meeting in Washington coming up in November. Now, in my article, I mentioned one major fact. Bush had a meeting with Mahmoud Abbas just before Peres met the Pope. What was it, a day or two before?
Hold that, we'll be right back in just a moment. We Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and Chris, our guest this evening is Barry Shamus. Barry is trying to make some sense out of what's going on over in his country. And basically you have Tony Blair. Now, Tony Blair has been repudiated by the British people, but that doesn't matter. Suddenly now he is the chief negotiator over in Israel. Where would he get off having any influence there? Because he is part of this globalist establishment, the people who rule the world. Doesn't matter he's been repudiated by his own people. Doesn't matter he couldn't be elected dog catcher in Great Britain today. His people have lost all confidence in him. But being part of the ruling elite of the world, now he's over there and holding meetings to determine the fate of Israel. And then, of course, you have your meetings between your Saudis. And the Saudis are meeting with all sorts of people, key people, and they have a plan for bringing peace to Israel. And then, of course, as Barry was just saying, how this Italian representative was meeting with Mubarak, and of course he's from the head of Egypt. We're keeping him in power. We've kept him in power for many years, giving him $3 billion a year so he can oppress his people and remain in power. He's being paid off by the American government, and all of these people are planning Israel's future, but nobody's asking the Israeli people what they want. You go right ahead there, Barry.
Well, I was just going to get to the final point. I'm glad you mentioned the Saudis, because that was next, of course. But Bush had a meeting with Abbas, and here is what he told the press conference. The American government would push Israel back to the 1949 armistice lines. That comes from your President Bush. Israel will be pushed to the 1949 armistice lines. Go to BarryChambers.com, read the article, read the quotes, look it up yourself. I'm not making it up. The lines in 1949 cannot be defended today. They can't be. It's not only Judea and Samaria. We don't have parts of the Negev. We don't have the Golan Heights. We got nothing. Israel couldn't survive 2 days with the 1949 armistice lines, but that is the ultimate goal of this horrible diplomacy. Now, people, I'm going to intrude myself and take a terrible liberty. Now, I didn't get the best review from you, Dr. Stan, but this DVD connects...
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is Barry Shamus, and our good friend Barry is telling you really what's happening and the things that are happening over, in the Near East are literally unbelievable, because there's a plan to totally destroy Israel. Now, you can give up all the land you want to as the Israeli government. You put yourself in an indefensible position. But the Arabs, because of their religious beliefs, will never rest until they've destroyed Israel and driven the Israelis into the sea. That's just the way it is. You're not going to change the religious beliefs of Islam. And so why would you make concessions and, of course, allow PLO and Hamas to take over control of Judea and Samaria, which essentially cuts the nation in two, pull your people out of Gaza? Why would you give up the Golan Heights? Why would you put Israel into a totally indefensible position? Yet that is the position that the globalists in Washington, D.C., who are controlling American foreign policy, are doing today. None of this makes sense any more than the fact that Barak, the defense minister of Israel, is picking up all the gas masks and then refusing to reissue them. So that if there is a war, he would ensure the maximum number of Israelis would be killed. Go right there. Pick up the story there, Barry.
Well, that's, of course, how you get the Golan Heights back. You kill all the Jews who live there. We started to talk about Juan Carlos and the Saudi plan and the secret meetings he had with Prince Solomon just before Paris arrived at the Vatican, but we're going to confuse your listeners. Look, people, I have a DVD. I'm going to give you, first of all, my cell phone number. Get ready, 904-501-7605, 904-501-7605. My email address is Chamish, Chamish, at NetVision, one long word, NetVision.net, net.al, Chamish at NetVision.net.al. Go and order it. My books are at lulu.com, L-U-L-U.com, right in Chamish where it says search. Now, Dr. Stan, about this DVD I sent to you, it was done in Jerusalem. And it wasn't just me talking. By the end of the DVD, we had several serious historians talking about why the Vatican wants Jerusalem. Did you pay attention to that?
No, I'll have to admit that I didn't. I watched the first part of it. I didn't watch the very end, the last part of it. Go right ahead, though.
Have a look for next time. This is not a simple subject. The Vatican wants Jerusalem. They think it's their capital.
Well, now, why do they want Jerusalem? Why would the Vatican want Jerusalem?
Well, I mean, ultimately, you could take the simple thesis that that's where Jesus preached, and that's where the whole Church of the Holy Sepulchre is, and that's where all kinds of Vatican holy sites are, but it's not so simple. You have to go all the way to the Crusades, especially the Second Crusade, where the Vatican took over Jerusalem. Frederick Barbarossa became the king of the, well, it was called the Holy Roman Empire of the Germanic nation. It was, in fact, the Vatican's military arm actually controlled Jerusalem. Then the Muslims won, and they never forgave that. They set up a bunch of secret societies. That, again, is on the DVD. And they kept this dream alive. And then, lo and behold, Israel was formed in 1948. The background behind that we have done, and we won't do that again. But they had someone in the Israeli government, someone named Shimon Peres, who was just a young whippersnapper back in 1948, but he controlled the Israeli Atomic Energy Commission. He was Ben Gurion, well, the first prime minister of Israel's closest aide. They had an agent inside Israel. And from that, they were going to get Israel back. It took them a while, but now at 85 years old, the young whippersnapper is arranging the death of Israel, and the Israeli citizens don't realize it.
And of course, when you try to tell them why, they get very angry with you, and yet they can't understand what's going on. They don't understand they're being betrayed by their leaders.
It's worse than just being betrayed right now. At first, it was just to get the Jews out of Judea and Samaria, supposedly for peace. Now, nobody believes that that Jews leaving their homes in the highest defensive positions of Judea and Samaria is going to make Israel more secure. You'd have to be an idiot to believe that. And I assure you, the powers that run the New World Order are not idiots. They know they're destroying Israel. And by the way, it's not just Judea and Samaria. The Golan is going to go. And then once the Golan goes, the water supply of Israel goes. The Syrians are looking at Tiberias through sniper rifles, and the whole Galilee of Israel is under their fire. They know what they're doing. They're breaking down Israel, but they're using an amazing excuse. It's for peace. Now, the real problem is they've been funding organizations from the left and the right, by the way. Peace Now, of course, is entirely funded by the CIA and the EU, but also Kach, the extreme right of Israel, and they got nasty people in Kach pretending to be patriots, people's names like Baruch Marzel and Itamar Ben-Gavir and Chaim Nativ. All of them are supposedly fighting for Israel. They've got us on the left, they've got us on the right. The Israeli people don't have leaders because their leaders have been chosen for them, and their leaders have been chosen to be, well, stooges, handlers. I'm sorry, not handlers, that's the wrong word. Just simply puppets of the New World Order, and there's nowhere for the Israeli citizen to go. He's too confused. Now, if you think, by the way, this conversation we're having right now is confusing, Ambassador, you're an Israeli and you have to live through this. Well, that's the fact of Israel right now. The fact is your president has gone to Rome to connive the end of your country. That's what happened this week.
All right, fine. Now, you see, our president or your president?
Ours, Paris.
Okay, fine. Go ahead, Perez. Go ahead.
Well, let's not ignore Bush. I mean, it's going to be under his auspices that this conference in Washington in November is going to be held.
All right. Now, what's going to happen at this conference in Washington? Who's going to be there? Do we know?
Well, we supposedly know. They changed the press every day, where it's now just foreign ministers. Before it was prime ministers. It doesn't matter. Israel has to show up with a concrete plan to give the PLO Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, the Syrians the Golan Heights. Israel has to go back to the 1949 armistice lines, and no country anywhere in the world could defend itself with those lines. There are no heights. There's nothing. 1948, Israel fought a war of independence. 1% of the population died, and most of them were young men fighting in the army. You had about 10% of your army died. Today, that would be 50,000 men. What country is going to take 50,000 of its young men dying? And that's, by the way, in 1948 when the weapons were primitive. Today, it's going to be even worse. Israel is going to lose, but you're going to have the equivalent of a vicious Holocaust in that country when this war is over.
Well, I think it's vitally important that our leaders understand, or that our listeners understand, that this idea of land for peace is simply a pipe dream.
What leaders? Your listeners is one thing. I'm hoping and I'm assuming you have a bunch of bright people out there, and they could sort this mess out, but your leaders? What leader's gone to bat for truth? Your leaders will go to bat to destroy Iraq and kill 100,000 Iraqis in like 3-5 years. No problem there. Look, everything is phony. Everything. The war against Iraq is phony. Your young men are dying for nothing. All of this was being done to create something called a Middle Eastern trading bloc. The EU of the Middle East is being prepared by your government. Your people don't understand why your soldiers are dying. Look, people, the next war, if it breaks out, if Israel plays ball and gives up everything, it may not break out. But if it does break out, it's bad against bad. It's the New World Order against Islamic fundamentalists. In other words, it's Stalin and Hitler, eye to eye. There's no good. There's no one to root for. Both sides are bad.
You won't get any argument from me at all. I'm very, very concerned about the future of Israel. I'm concerned about the future of the Middle East. I'm concerned about the future of the United States as a sovereign nation, because I think our leaders are dedicated to the destruction of the sovereignty of the United States. Their real allegiance is not to America, but to the globalist dream. Wouldn't it be wonderful to bring about a new world order, a new world government, where men could live together in peace? And how do you do that? Why, you keep fighting wars all the time. That's how you bring world peace, of course, through a series of wars. First World War, Second World War, Vietnam, Korea, and now what we're involved in, all aimed at bringing about this world government. And that's the real purpose of everything going on today.
Well, it's certainly the purpose, but again, I have only one concern. Now, your concern is America, of course, is your country. My concern is Israel. It's my country. That poor little Israel of mine is going down the tubes, and there's nothing but nothing to wake the people up and rebel. Nothing I could do. Nothing. I'm an ant. I haven't got the power. I can write pretty well, but that's not enough anymore. And by the way, I'm the only one writing this stuff. No one else is writing this stuff. And for me, it is just given logic. The facts, again, I have a witness in my host. You read my article yesterday. Piece by piece, I wrote about the events surrounding the Paris business meeting in Rome. You couldn't be more blatant. I made it into a little bit of a comedy where it was like an episode of Columbo, where Columbo breaks down the crime so that anyone can figure it out. I'm trying to appeal to the lay masses and not be an academic or scholar full of my own personal ego. I'm trying to make it feasible for people to see, but it's just too much, I'm afraid. They're going to watch Israel go down, and they're going to blame the wrong people, and they're going to assume that Israel had a bad run of lousy leadership, and this bad run of lousy leadership brought the country down, and the left are going to say it's because of the settlers holding on to the land. After Israel's gone, they're still going to blame the settlers and the right, and the right are going to blame the left when Israel is gone for causing Oslo and causing the decline of Israeli values and morals. All of this will go on after Israel goes. Nothing will ever change. That seems to be the situation. And there's nothing this little writer can do about it.
Well, you can just keep right on writing, and that's what you're called to do, Barry.
I suppose I'm in the trap right now where it's very hard to get out. Everything makes me very, very upset right now. But it doesn't... Look, I've got people who know I'm right, but the numbers aren't enough. And in Israel, I had the formula. I had the Rabin formula. I caught them in a political crime that was hugely consequential to the nation. I thought I could do it by exposing Peres as the murderer of Rabin. I had the proofs. I had the documents. But what could you do? I gave the speech 400 times in Israel in beautiful Hebrew. It didn't help. Ultimately, nothing I could do worked. And in the end, they got to me anyways.
But, of course, the thing is that you did have a tremendous impact in Israel, convincing probably close to half the people there.
All the polls say more.
That Rabin was actually murdered by the government itself. It had nothing to do with the man who was actually convicted of the murder. He was simply a patsy like Lee Harvey Oswald was. This was actually done by the Sinn Féin. That was one of the police lines of forces within Israel. They wanted to get rid of Rabin. They did it. They assassinated their leader. And, of course, but they could not let the Jewish people know that, but you convinced them. So that in itself is a great accomplishment, Barry. And you should revel in the fact that you did have an impact in the thought process of the Israeli people and people throughout the world. So that in itself is really a tremendous accomplishment.
I suppose so. Again, there's a nation of people who are very ignorant, and they're very, very naive, and they're also very egotistical, and they don't want to change their reality. And all I'm doing is presenting the facts, but the facts turn upside down everything they thought about Israel, who founded it, why, in fact, we're fighting, and they don't want to accept that. And believe me, I'm one of them. I joined the IDF. I fought the Lebanon War. I risked my life on countless occasions. I'm actually one of them, but I'm willing to change my reality. The Israeli people clearly are not. And I guess that's the difference between us.
Well, the thing is, your job is to continue writing. Your job is to continue sounding the alarm. And certainly in Ezekiel 3 and Ezekiel 33, we're told that they're to be the watchman on the wall. And you're a watchman, Barry. Just as in certain respects, I like to think of myself as a watchman. It's up to the people whether they want to accept what you say, whether they want to say accept what I say. But I'm not called to be victorious. I'm called to sound the alarm, and you are too. So don't get discouraged. You just keep sounding that alarm and read Ezekiel 3 and read Ezekiel 33 about the story of the watchman on the wall.
Well, I like Ezekiel and his two journeys in what apparently is an aircraft with four very strange wheels with the shape of animals.
All right, go right ahead.
Well, you know, we spoke about the fact that there's got to be a spiritual dimension, that they have to have twisted the Jews' minds and made them, well, malleable to being destroyed. And that apparently has happened to Israel. We spoke about the other side of my writing, which, folks, Israel was bombarded by craziness in the skies just before Oslo, and the height of it was Oslo. Honest to goodness, I cannot explain the absolute lack of normal thinking of the Israeli people, except to say in some way they've been affected, some way we don't understand.
Well, one of these days we're going to have to finish up the story of the return of the giants, and maybe we could do that maybe next week, because I'm looking forward, of course, to exploring the rest of your book. It sounds like a fascinating book, and of course you can get that at lulu.com. The Return of the Giants, something that happened in the 1980s and 1990s, but it has a spiritual significance. Barry recognizes that. What is what it is. Maybe, of course, we can all learn from his story as he carefully, as an investigative journalism, investigated some strange UFO sightings and then people sighting giants in the land of Israel. And it was about that time when people's minds were somehow sort of distorted, so they no longer could see reality. Would that be a fairly good statement, Barry?
Believe me, it's a good one. I don't even understand, as a journalist, why I was covering these stories. But the fact still remains the same. As Israel was going down, very, very strange things were happening to the Israeli people. Their minds got changed. Israel was a beautiful place. I moved there in 1975. It was a proud nation with a proud army and a proud people. To compare the Israel of 1975 with what it is today, it's not even the same nation anymore. And what you call the settlers, for lack of a better term, I call them the Jewish residents of Judea and Samaria. We've got to get a better one than that. Well, these people are going down. They're going to be forced out of their beautiful houses. They are going to be refugees, and they know it.
Hold
they're
on,
living in tension. They know trouble is coming.
Barry, we're out of time. God bless. We'll talk to you later. Thanks
you
so much.
You got it. Bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course you would like to get the DVDs that Barry has. Well, you can, of course, get them. You can go to his website, barryshamish.com. That's barryshamish.com. Go to lulu.com. You can get his books. And I'd suggest, of course, one on Gaza and the one on the Labor Party. And then, of course, this one on the Return of the Giants, because there is a supernatural component to everything going on in Israel, in America today. And I really believe that the American people are blinded, as the Israeli people are blinded, and our job is to reach those that we can, that God wants to hear the truth. Certainly I recommend my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, the DVD or the certainly if you'd like to see this on the screen, my talk on the Forbidden Secret, the award-winning DVDs, the Secret Mystery of America's Beginning, and Riddles in Stone, Megiddo 1 and Megiddo 2, put out by Chris Pinto, and of course they really simply explain the history of the world from the biblical point of view, and the supernatural forces that are available. Certainly we also carry the DVDs, The Emergence, a DVD by Constance Cumby, talking about the New Age and the coming world leader, and of course they believe he's coming very soon. By they we mean the people on the other side, and there are people on the other side who have given their loyalty to the beings from the other dimension. The beings from the other dimension, you want to understand them, you need to read my pamphlets on the occult hierarchy. The occult hierarchy. And three pamphlets made up of our newsletters. And then, of course, the DVD, The Atlantis Connection, by Chris Pinto, who was our guest at our last seminar, going into the spiritual forces at work in the world today. And, of course, their belief that America was destined to lead the world into this one world government. So the whole idea is that Lost Atlantis was lost when a great flood came and destroyed that society, and many people think that may have been certainly the flood, the Noetic flood that occurred at the time of Noah. They think it was a great society. We know from the scriptures it was an evil society, because there were beings from the other dimension who came down and mated with women, and their offspring were known as Nephilim. And of course the same thing may well be taking place in one form or another today, as we begin seeing the evidence that there are beings. Certainly we call them aliens. Some people, they're not from another planet, they're from the other dimension. If you've not yet seen the book that we carry called Alien Intervention, we recommend it to you. We carry a book called Spiritual Warfare and the Gods That Walk Among Us, and a great new book by our friend Tom Horn called Stargate, about, of course, the people who have actually unlocked the passage to the other dimension. And there are people who have spent their whole lives working on incantations to accomplish that. But these are people, of course, deeply involved in the occult. And these are dark subjects, but you have to understand that we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian or Western civilization, and most Christians have no idea what's really going on today. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. Remember our all-day conference on the 28th of October. That's our yearly Radio Liberty Conference. We hope you can come. Get a great lineup of speakers. That's October 28th. You can, if you're interested in more information or directions, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Because America is under attack today. Please pray for America. Pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection.